Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman, affecting an accent.
Still lonely 50 years later, or 40 years later, or however many years ago it was when Andrew Gold actually first hit with Lonely Boy. I think it was 1977. Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to the first Midweek Drive of 2018. And it's a bit of an unusual one because we're actually recording this a few days beforehand because the Midweek Drive team will hopefully, all being well, be right now at the London Boat Show collecting material which you'll be able to hear on Thursday's 7pm slot under the guise of the London Boat Show 2018, of course, which is all good. Richard Fitzwilliams, clearly it's a delight to swap schedules around and adjust things and do various other bits and pieces because we thought, New Year, let's change a few things around, let's move our schedules around. And not only do we actually get to hear from you on a Wednesday evening, but of course there'll be a Thursday slot tomorrow morning from you as well. But Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year to you and to the team.
Well, it's just me in the studio at present, but then again, we just have to continue regardless. That's the important thing. I have got a quick question for you, good self, which crossed my mind over the holiday season, allowing for the upcoming nuptials that are coming through in the royal family. What are the odds about Mr. Trump getting an invitation to the Meghan and Harry wedding?
Well, you see, had it been at Westminster Abbey, had it been the type of wedding, for example, that William and Kate had, where you had 2,000 invitations, with St. Paul's, in fact, in 1981, had 2,600. The capacity at St. George's Chapel is 800. So I think it's worth bearing in mind, no bank holiday. It's somewhat smaller. It will be quite a squeeze to fit in the press. In various surrounds, I don't know how that will be done. Considering the worldwide interest, we know, and of course famously he was interviewed on Today when Harry was host, we know very well that Harry and Meghan are very close to the Obamas, and of course Harry's cooperated with them, and they've been very extremely generous regarding the Invictus Games. I would suggest that this is going to be a wedding like no other, that the guest list is going to be fascinating, that the Obamas will be on it because Harry and Meghan are going to plan it pretty well themselves. Now, the protocols do mean that the British government would probably not be very happy if Trump was in any way offended. But I just have this feeling that it's not going to be a wedding that they'll be full of official, certainly links to the Commonwealth. I mean, that's important, and we don't know how the guest list will be chosen. My bet is that for security reasons, given the enormous security that would be necessary, given the fact there'd be protests, given the fact the wedding would be controversial, I don't think that either the president or his wife will be asked. I mean, it's important to remember the only president who attended a royal wedding was the President and Mrs. Monroe in 1818. You needed to know that, of course. In fact, there was the royal wedding in 1795. George Washington didn't send a present. That was considered rather strange. But if you look back over the years, it has not been the practice to ask American presidents and their wives, or at least if they were asked, to have them actually come. The Obamas were not asked in 2011, so there is a precedent. The reason was they were on a state visit the next month. And the security aspect of it is absolutely vast. So my bets, you would have, certainly have the Obamas, because I think they're asking friends, and I think that will be the vast majority. But we do not know how it will be arranged, and it is a tricky one. I mean, diplomatically, it's tricky.
There's always the possibility that Melania could get the invite and just sort of leave the husband at home.
The problem, of course, is that if you ask someone, they could always turn up.
Well, there we have it. It's an interesting line, and let's not talk about whose big red button is bigger than the other's red button.
No, indeed not. I wouldn't even tweet it.
Maybe Steve Bannon could actually step in. I mean, after all, he's apparently lost his marbles. But still, let's not go into geopolitics at this time of the year. It's a happy day. I managed to actually catch the latest Star Wars movie with Rian Johnson over the vacation. I thought it was okay. I'd give it probably a good solid 8.5 to 9 out of 10. I never thought I'd say this about a Star Wars movie, maybe a tad too long, perhaps.
No, I thought that the fans would enjoy it. I thought it was spectacular, and it began with a super battle, and you had a variety of themes, but the battle between
good and evil
and Kylo Ren,
exactly.
And the psychology of it.
Oh. And Luke turning to the dark side, possibly or not.
I found too many close-ups, too much loud music in that, and also action scenes that were slightly slack towards the end. But, I mean, one is quibbling. The point is the fans are enjoying it. There were mischievous rumors online that the fans did not agree with the critical rave reviews, but it seems to have done fantastically well.
Well, indeed, but still looking forward to Avengers Infinity War Part 1, Black Panther, and a whole heap of other goodies as 2018 is actually with us. Where do you want to start, Richard, with the cinematic reviews, or do we want to actually start talking about the awards season? Because Phil Leonis, of course, the Leonis Fitzwilliams Challenge, which I think Phil's getting back to peak fitness. He hasn't been at his best, but I think he hasn't.
I saw online.
No, well, I'd say the positivity will work our way through that, because hopefully 2018 is the year when Phil Leonis actually returns to the British Isles. But again, things
I
move so quickly.
I have in March, indeed I do.
Yep.
Perhaps we could just say a word about the honours.
I noticed you didn't get one, Richard, and neither did Phil Leonis, so I think, what's the point, really? But still, I suppose it was good news for Sir Ringo Starr.
Yes, indeed, and, a very good choice there. Also, good news for Darcy Bustle, Dame, and a very, very good choice. She's charming, she's talented, and indeed, I don't think anyone would disagree with that, and certainly overall I thought a pretty reasonable list. No party donors, which was a bit of a joy. Yes, there were political knighthoods, but always a fuss made about that, but I didn't feel that it was one of those where you really got outrageous choices, which from time to time you do, and which causes a lot of offense. All you need is 1200 names. 70% of these, for example, were linked to philanthropy, which is fine, and the diversity aspect, black and Asian and minority ethnic names, only 9%, they could do better there. But I would say that the gender equality, half roughly, being women, not perhaps in the top honours yet, but at least that used to be outrageously one-sided, and most certainly isn't so. I thought a perfectly reasonable list. Barry Gibb, too, a lot of pleasure about that. A sprinkling of sporting honours. It seemed to me a perfectly sensible list. Nobody is going to complain about Susan Hampshire, also the companion of honour, Lord Bragg, Lady Antonia Fraser. They seem very good to me. Yes, I thought it was pretty good.
Well, I think, Richard, having said all of that and allowing for the fact that Bee Gees were represented, at least the sole surviving Bee Gee Gibb brother, it's time we actually went to have a musical break. So if it's okay with you, I've got to get a message to you.
The preacher talked to me and he smiled. Said, come and walk with me, come and walk one more mile. Now for once in your life you're alone, but you ain't got a dime, there's no time for the fool. I just gotta get a message to you. If I broke her heart, then won't you tell her I'm sorry? And for once in my life, I'm alone, and I gotta let her know, just in time before I go. Now I'm crying, but deep down inside, well, I did it to him. Now it's my turn to die. I just gotta get a message to you. Oh,
Well, let's hope we've got more than 1 hour before our lives are through. Otherwise, it's going to be a very short show. Never mind. We're talking to Richard Fitzwilliams, ace commentator and film critic and general around wonderful person who we thought was important to actually launch this particular series of the Midweek Drive. And on a Wednesday afternoon, as we mentioned, whilst several of us are actually down at the London Boat Show. Hurrah. I don't think we'll be buying a Sunseeker, but you never know, Richard. If the budget allows, who knows what could actually happen.
Indeed, yes. And what about the Golden Globes on Sunday? I mean, first of all, wondering what would actually happen about the Time's Up campaign, because we're expecting speeches and also possibly be quite a number of women wearing black in protest against sexual harassment in Hollywood. That is one thing to note.
Now, allowing for that, and the fact that clearly we should probably look to get to a stage where awards are for people's excellence in all manners of life, are we getting to a stage where basically there are going to be prizes for everything on the basis of looking to fill quotas and such like, or is that just too crass a comment to make?
I think that there was, obviously, a feeling with the hashtag OscarsSoWhite that it was necessary to make the membership, for example, at the Oscars, I mean the Golden Globes, just over 90 Foreign Press Association in Hollywood, they had the special spot. Regarding quotas, it is a question of merit. It's also a question of equal opportunity. This is where the argument, as it were, begins, and there's little doubt that it's certainly in the Oscars. If you have an average age of over 60, if you have 92% white, if you have 70% male, this sort of statistic, I mean, that clearly ought to be altered. But obviously the choices are on merit, or certainly should be. But of course you could also say some people make choices and vote without seeing. Some people do all sorts of eccentric things. What is important to mention with reference to the Oscars is that the membership, a large percentage of it, or quite a large percentage of it, is in fact new, and I think that will show. It will make this race more exciting because normally Dunkirk would have won and be an absolute certainty, I would have thought, or the Post. This time we just don't know, and also remember the proportional representation aspect to the voting. So in fact both of our second or even third choices might well be chosen if the first ones were disliked by others.
Now, clearly, by the time people are actually listening to this little item, the Golden Globes will have been and gone. So this might be seen as a sort of time-locked piece, which has kind of just emerged through that timey-wimey chronological sort of factor that's actually there. But briefly, we can actually run this as a kind of postscript to the whole system. What are your main top tips? I mean, you mentioned Dunkirk. I don't know. I as I've said before, I felt this was, for me, Christopher Nolan's weakest movie of his entire oeuvre. But you know.
You didn't say that, and I never knew that.
Oh, well, I've just released it now, though.
Well, you've released a bombshell.
Well,
yes.
Give me Inception any time of the day. Much better, much more sort of thinking.
I would have remembered if you'd said that, believe me. I mean, the point, best film drama, Dunkirk, was the favourite. The Post has, it's an extremely good film about the Pentagon Papers, and a very timely, also The Shape of Water, 7 nominations. Dunkirk's only had 3, and the last film to win Best Film Drama category, of which had 3, was The Guns of Navarone in 1961. So, I mean, it's just too close to call. I will say Dunkirk, because I think it's very skilled, and I also think Christopher Nolan, without having the time to debate it with you, I mean, will win Best Director, but that could...
Go and see the 1958 movie. That was a lot better with Sir John Mills. Much, much more sort of in tune with the whole system.
I would not...
Stronger roles for women as well in the 1958 one.
I would also say that the comparison is invidious and disagree with you very strongly, but I wish we could debate it for longer. I would say that I will go with that for Best Film Drama. Best Actor Drama does seem to be Gary Oldman. There's the extraordinary performance as Churchill in Darkest Hour. The film, I think, hasn't been so well received. I have seen it. I can see why, but Oldman is brilliant. Daniel Day-Lewis's final role, so he says, The Phantom Thread. But expect Oldman, I'm sure he'll win, but Timothée Chalamet in Call Me By Your Name is amazing. I've just simply got to say that. Also, Oldman doesn't like the Globe, so there is that to bear in mind. Best Actress Drama will be Frances McDormand for feisty roles of a bereaved mother in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Best Film, Comedy or Musical will be Lady Bird, made by the divine Greta Gerwig. It's a delightful coming-of-age movie. And Get Out, a chilling indictment of racism, shouldn't be in this category. It's not a comedy, it's not a musical. Or comedy, if you really have to stretch it to some form of satire or black comedy, maybe. But I think it'll be Lady Bird. Best Actor, Comedy or Musical, James Franco for The Disaster Artist. Best Actress, Comedy or Musical, Saoirse Ronan in Lady Bird. Best Supporting Actor is very close, but it looks like Christopher Plummer in All the Money in the World, in the part that Kevin Spacey originally had from Willem Dafoe in The Delightful Florida Project. Best Supporting Actress assured, apparently, Laurie Metcalf as the mother in Lady Bird. And Best Director, I think it'll be Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, but we will see.
Well, I think actually, just to confuse matters temporal even further, what we might do is we'll put this out as a podcast before the actual Golden Globe Awards.
Yes, and then
in essence, you can actually sort of check that out and see how true Richard had actually been. So if you're listening live to this on Wednesday, the 10th of January, and you're a bit confused, don't worry. It'll all become clear in the fullness of time. Richard, are you kind enough to stay with us for another little insert in terms of movie material that you'd like to look forward to for the early weeks of 2018?
Yes, surely.
The nights are colder now. Maybe I should close the door. And anyway, the snow has covered all your footsteps, and I can follow you no more. The fire still burns at night. My memories are warm and clear, but everybody knows it's hard to be alone at this time of year. It was only a winter's day, just another winter's day. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? A love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. If you hear, I wonder if you're listening. I wonder where you are today. Good luck, I wish you well, for all that wishes may be worth. I hope that love and strength are with you for the length of your time on earth. It was only a winter's day, just another winter's day. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? It's a love that can never be, though it it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? It's a love that could never be. Oh, it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Thank you very much, Jean. Still to come, we'll be speaking to William Coles, Somewhere in the Wilds of Scotland, which makes some kind of perfect sense, on this, the 11th of January, 2018. Let's just get the year right, because there's always that sort of time where you think, what happens to the last 17 years of the 21st century? So never mind, we're not at the end of the 21st century yet. We have got Richard Fitzwilliams, who I'm sure will still be around at the end of the 21st century doing wonderful sort of cinematic things, because Richard, let's face it, when you're in broadcasting, your voice just goes on and on and on and on.
Well, I hope it doesn't sound quite like that, but I mean, yes. And also, talking about going on, I mean, films do, apart from Dunkirk, looking at the year that we just had, one of the themes that I would pick up was the excellence of LGBT movies. Sensuous, Call Me By Your Name, The Powerful, God's Own Country, The Evocative, The Handmaiden, a period movie, and an extraordinary number of films with very unusual themes. Lady Macbeth, Daphne, the Annette Bening, so touching in Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool, Quiet Passion about Emily Dickinson, The Unusual Being Sick, Get Out, Chilling Indictment of Racism, The Hounds of Love, The Beguiled, and two rather underrated movies, or certainly one of them, My Cousin Rachel, and Personal Shopper, which I thought was so atmospheric. And then, of course, you had the blockbusters, The War for the Planet of the Apes, superb, Blade Runner, absorbing, and successes with Wonder Woman and Atomic Blonde 2, and the fans liking Spider-Man Homecoming and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and yes, the big events, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and Kong Skull Island, which was great fun.
So, clearly, we've also got the Netflix question, which continues to grow from that point of view, and it's interesting that they're getting more and more into distribution and movies and such like stuff. I spent most of the holiday time watching all 18 hours of the Twin Peaks Return by David Lynch, which was certainly highly cinematic, and indeed many critics have actually said it should be sort of billed as a cinematic event in its own way. Do you feel that actually that complementarity of watching movies and things on devices ranging from 3 inches, 4 inches to big wide mega screens is going to continue? Are we seeing the end of that experience where you go into a movie as a social experience to listen to other people chew their popcorn, or indeed actually do selfie shots and smiley updates on their catch-up mobile devices?
Well, I'm having to say that this is a big question linked to the big Fox-Disney merger, and also linked to the way Netflix and Amazon and online and the way that's changing the experience. I mean, you can indeed download on your iPhone, I regret it, in a way.
It's the best way to see Dunkirk, I feel.
Well, Christopher Nolan and Quentin Tarantino on the one side of the argument, the likes of Darren Aronofsky said he didn't mind if his movies were downloaded on an iPhone. The whole point is, of course, to experience it, but there are various ways of doing so. There is the matter of cost, the way cinemas are changing. This is a whole debate that you unraveled, and which, of course, obviously we haven't time to dwell on in great detail. If I may continue with my review of the year, the two sports movies, Borg versus McEnroe and The Battle of the Sexes, both are rather good, especially the latter. The Disaster Artist and The Death of Stalin are sort of black comedy-type movies. Whitney, Can I Be Me and City of Light, brilliant documentaries. Disability, featured in Breathe and Stronger, both I thought rather fine. And two musicals, Flawed, Colourful, Beauty and the Beast and The Greatest Showman, The Divine Paddington, Bella Overacting in Murder on the Orient Express, The Limehouse Golem, rather garishly fascinating and amusing or entertaining Victoria and Abdul, and Goodbye Christopher Robin. I loved American Maid. And then we have the disappointments, Logan, The Lost City of Z, Viceroy's House, Mother, Arthur, Legend of the Sword, The Great Wall, Unlocked, Snatch.
Arthur, Legend of the Sword, a disappointment. I'm shocked, Richard.
I thought you would be appalled.
It had David Beckham in and everything.
Yes, indeed. To make that as your debut, Yes.
Well, actually, technically, no, because David Beckham made his debut as the cinematographer who was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., also directed by Guy Ritchie. He has a cameo appearance there, so that technically was his big screen debut. Another great movie. No, he did. Yes, he did, actually. He did. He apologised. He did say two words, I believe.
Well, he said more than two, and to very little effect in Arthur, Legend of the Sword. And then the other two, Turkey's Suburbicon, for me, and Kingsman, The Golden Circle, I thought. And then, of course, we now look forward to those awards, which we'll, at the time when this is heard, the Post may very well have won. I have a feeling that it will, even though I've gone for Dunkirk. Just pure, it's just the feeling that a movie I really liked, I would like to see acknowledged, but since Phil isn't, as it were, he and I are not competing as to what we think is going to win. I mean, it's quite interesting. A lot of critics have will win and should win, and I think that's they're very relevant categories.
It'll be splendid, much as obviously our link that we'll be doing tomorrow, which will be on tomorrow morning, which is the 11th of January 2018, will be equally splendid. But for the moment, Richard, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, the first official programme of the Midweek Drive series for 2018?
I most certainly have.
Excellent. So can we, I mean, say we've already answered this question, but can we look forward to many more as the year proceeds?
Most emphatically.
Stand tall, I face it all together.
Given it actually wraps up in the Scottish Highlands, is probably an awesome way to introduce our next correspondent on this pre-recorded Midweek Drive, the first official Midweek Drive of 2018, while some of us are actually enjoying, hopefully, the delights of the London Boat Show up in Edinburgh, or indeed the Scottish Highlands. It's a delight, as ever, to welcome William Coles. How are you, William?
Thank you, Alex. How are you?
Good, very good indeed. Well, actually, very good. I've got to actually thank people on social media. I've just actually spent the last few moments working my way through that Facebook social networking, liking all the people who were kind enough to wish me birthday greetings for last week, which is very nice, very kind. And I didn't respond on the day because, frankly, I decided actually this year I was going to actually just disconnect completely from social media. I didn't even make a statement on social media to actually say I was going to disconnect completely. I just thought, I can die enough already. So I'm kind of wading my way through liking every soul who has been kind enough to actually wish me, and he's gone. And that includes, obviously, William Sitwell. Never mind. And indeed, William Coles. We'll hopefully try and reach William Coles in a few moments from now. It just goes to show that's some of the challenges that you actually get when you actually bring on board the social media world. You're listening to Siren FM's Midweek Drive on... not on location. We're on location tomorrow for a Midweek Drive special. But we will try and endeavour to get William Coles back from Edinburgh in the very near future.
Take a chance on the first in line. Take a chance, take a chance. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Take a chance. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go, when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, where the pretty birds have flown. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Gonna do my best.
We will take another chance. If we actually have faith, it will happen. William Coles, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
That's all right. That's fine. As I was, I was just thanking people for all their kindness in sending me birthday wishes via that social networking site, Facebook, last week, and pointing out that the reason I'm thanking them now, as opposed to, well, I'm doing likes as well at the same sort of system, is because I decided it was a lot healthier to actually just step away from all of the social media for, you know, a considerable period of time. But you can't, you know, sometimes you need to be connected, and there we are.
Am I allowed to ask you how old you are?
Oh, William. I'm in
obviously,
my...
we're not.
No, you can ask, and we continue ever onwards. It's age, it's a number. As I like to say, we are some of the things hydrogen atoms evolve into given several billion years of cosmic evolution. And that, that was Carl Sagan. You know, that's the important point of this. So clearly you demonstrated, William, this whole sort of notion of not just going offline, but being uncontactable via telephone as well from that point of view. So are you kind of, have you been off the grid for the holiday period? Was it a case of...
Absolutely. We're stuck in Dunblane with very patchy coverage, no Wi-Fi, and a board game called Colditz, which you might remember playing 30 or 40 years ago, which, strangely, my children are...
Does it have Robert Wagner and David McCallum in there?
No, it's just... no.
Anthony Valentine, perhaps?
No, it's got Pat Reed. I don't remember watching the TV programme.
Oh, dear.
But these were the stars, were they?
Well, actually, I mean, Anthony Valentine, one of the key members of the Colditz series that was, you know, very much at the heart of the whole sort of system there. So, yeah, never mind. Clearly, it's something you need to access and seek out in the mists of YouTube or various other bits and pieces. Is there actually a shrine to Andy Murray there, who we hear is to sort of withdraw from the Australian Open, in fact, last week, actually, due to hip injury? Because, obviously, the Murrays are well-known being Dunblane people.
Yeah. He's got a hotel up round here as well. Maybe I should check it out and see whether they've gone into mourning. Yes, they love him up here. He's their favourite son.
I'm not surprised, actually. It's so much more positive than the massacre that occurred as well a few years ago, but we won't talk about that. But that's, I mean, it's a bit like, you know, whenever I see Hungerford, I tend to see, you know, massacre after that as well. It's still sad.
Is that how you reference the world as to massacres?
Yes, and Valentine's Day, you know, clearly, you know what you're going to get there from that point of view. It's just a case of, it's how I really like to celebrate one's birthday, basically. Al Capone being a well-known Capricorn. Only kidding, honestly, you know, more J.R.R. Tolkien, let's face it. So, London Boat Show. As I said, this is going out, hopefully, for our Midweek Drive listeners on our regular Wednesday slot, one of those rare occasions where it's been pre-recorded a few days beforehand. Have you ever been to the London Boat Show, William, or is it something which you kind of thought, no, I like to stay away from water and stay on land?
I have never been to the London Boat Show. Obviously, if I had a few spare million, I'd love to buy
it. You say that, but you don't need to have six-figure salaries to effectively sort of make it. There are dinghies, there are yacht, there are all sorts of other areas. We live in an island, William. We live in an island. You've got even, you know, look at the success of our you know, our nautical folk around the Olympics, etc. There are so many things you can actually get into with the joys of water. Do not think you have to have the equivalent of a Russian oligarch's salary income to actually, or indeed a small country like Qatar, to actually be at the London Boat Show. It does help.
All right, then, fair enough. What have you got?
I actually just like to soak up the atmosphere and the range of material that's actually there, because you get a fascinating range of people from indeed all extremes of society in many ways, really.
Really? Okay. So, are you a regular there?
We like to see it as the way in which we launch the year. It's our first outside broadcast official thing that we actually do, our on-location audio postcard. And, yeah, I mean, basically, we've been covering the London Boat Show since it was the Tullett Prebon London Boat Show back in the early noughties of the 21st century. So we tend to sort of be there fairly regularly. I appreciate, William, you're going to chirp up now with the line, but you still became promising about coming back up to Edinburgh. The last time we did an audio broadcast from Edinburgh, effectively, was the 2007 Royal Highland Show, and that's far too long. That's 11 years since we've last been north of the border, and you know, there's no excuse now, obviously, William, with you being there in Edinburgh, obviously, more east coast as opposed to Dunblane west coast, I believe. Is that right? I
mean, I've got
my sort of geography sorted out there. We clearly need to look at some way of getting the Midweek Drivets and folk up to do an Edinburgh gig.
Yes, well, bring yourselves up for the festival. They'd love it. You could, in fact, you could put on your own show.
Well, we could. Yes, exactly. I mean,
you're sounding a bit dubious.
I'm just looking at budgets, bankrolls, and various other sort of bits and pieces with respect to
you
that.
You need a sponsor.
Well, exactly. This is, we need a sponsor. There we are. Those are the magic words, William. And, you know, if you'd like to accept that mission, obviously the secretary will disavow any knowledge, of your involvement should you be caught or captured. But at the same time, we'd appreciate it. Go to work. You can join us in. You are a Midweek Drivehead. Let's face it, William. You know, take ownership. Take ownership of the stakeholder nature of the world in which we live.
Well, you can definitely do the show from our front room, which is quite big.
Well, I mean, strangely enough, I think that might well be in. We'll negotiate that. We'll put that down in the list of things that 2018 may have in terms of ongoing and upcoming magic. Is the world in a safer place, do you think? I mean, with people talking about the size of the red buttons, it's obviously a euphemism, but between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un and obviously Steve Bannon losing his marbles, do you think actually all's well with the world? I mean, as a former Washington political correspondent for The Sun?
The question, I would be staggered if there was a nuclear war, but then I would probably not be around
actually.
To,
exactly.
I'd be more than staggered, I would be toast if there was a nuclear war. Yeah. But surely since there is nothing we can do about it at all, at least ways Kim Jong-un or Trumpy, then what's the point in fretting about it?
Exactly. Let's face the music and dance. Fretting doesn't actually add a single iota to your life. It's just not worth going down that particular line. Is this the first time you've taken the family to Dunblane, and allowing for the fact that clearly you just have the Colditz board game to actually keep you occupied, is this one of those areas where, because clearly, I mean, as indeed the early part of this interview sort of demonstrated, and fingers crossed, touch wood, we're still connected, we had one or two challenges just holding the line from that perspective. Is this the first time?
We've rented a house with some friends and had Hogmanay here. And we're actually just outside Dunblane at Sheriffmuir, which its claim to fame is that there was a Jacobite rebellion here, and they had a battle. The old pretender. And apparently the battle was a draw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, you know, post-Brexit, we may be heading back to more kind of territorialisation between the people north of the border and south of the border and so on, in which case you're obviously in prime place to be a double agent. That's not good.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, there might be independence up here.
Well, there's who knows what the referendum of the world will actually decide. Do you have any New Year's resolutions for 2018, or is it a case of rather like myself and indeed various other folk, you think, look, what is the point of a New Year's resolution which you're going to break in any case? Let's just continue experiencing the joy and wonderment of life.
I've got several resolutions. First of all, I'm going to same resolution as last year, to try and see 100 films at the cinema. Last year I got to 71.
Wow.
So that's that. And the other one is to learn Spanish so that I can do a part of this pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela.
Mm. And you will be the second Midweek Drivehead who's actually done that particular journey, because one of the friends of Tallulah Rendell actually took that with her two young sons, I think, at the time, and still waxes lyrical about it a good few years later. I might indeed put you in touch. I might put you in touch via the medium of Facebook. We'll sort of see how things... Oh, there you go. You go social media all over again. Any more books that you've got lined up? Because clearly last year we had a couple of fantastic e-books which are still available and downloadable from the wonderful world of Amazon and so on. What other sort of areas can we look forward to in terms of the writings of William Coles?
Screenplays. That's the future, Alex. Making movies. And it's not just... the problem is you can knock these screenplays out, but you've then got to sell them. So, yeah, that would be quite a good resolution to actually get one of these screenplays turned into a movie.
And, of course, with the plurality of distribution channels via Amazon Prime, Netflix, and so on and so forth, actually, it does seem to us that we're heading into a bit of a golden age when it comes to, you know, getting material out there. Perhaps we've gone beyond simply having to do the festival routine. Although festivals are clearly still there, whether it's the Cannes Film Festival, at Sundance, or otherwise, or indeed the London Film Festival, or Sci-Fi London, and so on, or indeed our very own Edinburgh Film Festival, which last year actually had the feet of William Coles upon its very Atoms, which was very exciting, I think, for a couple of things. That was for a grand launch of a movie which actually Richard Fitzwilliams mentioned earlier, In God's Country, I believe.
That's right, God's Own Country, yes. Brokeback Mountain in Yorkshire.
Yeah, God's Own Country. It's been awesome. I look ahead to the schedule for the next part of the programme in the second hour. I think we're looking at a number of the best interviews which kind of slipped away from us in the latter months of 2017. So we'll be picking up a few sort of interviews there that will hopefully keep people mildly entertained here on Siren Radio, Lincoln's first community radio station. And then, of course, next week we'll be back live once again with the Midweek Drive on the 17th of January 2018. I think we're heading to that sort of time. I'm not sure whether it's the second Monday in January, or is it the third Monday in January, which is generally regarded as Blue Monday, i.e. the most depressing time of the year, because we look around and we see Christmas is long since gone, the bills are all piling up, and we can't see any hope whatsoever apart from the royal wedding sometime later in the year.
Yes, and the royal birth as well, Kate's third child.
I didn't dare broach the subject of the royal birth with Richard Fitzwilliams. I thought the fact that I already said that in my mind Dunkirk was Christopher Nolan's weakest movie and that Inception was a far better and superior line was a much better line to take. I think that shocked him sufficiently without me talking about various royal births and so on. Incidentally, do you think Donald should actually get an invite to the William and Meghan wedding, given that she is American?
I hope so, yeah. I think the ambassador will be coming, yes. We'll all greatly
pile in together. Pile in together. That's the important thing. Pile in together.
I'd love to see your Melania there as well.
Well, many people would, and that is another option. I think the smart money, though, might be, as Richard suggested, it's going to be a much smaller wedding. They may, when the precedent was set, because Barack Obama was on a state visit elsewhere, so he couldn't actually make it. And in fact, had to wait until clearly he was being interviewed by Prince Harry for the Radio 4 series. It's another radio station, another sort of thing, but I believe there's a program called Today that occurs.
Yeah, not in your league.
What? William, our league, please. Our league. I mean, let's face it, you know, you are, it's not a case of interviewer, interviewee, it's co-host, co-presenter. That's the key line. It's an important line, but nevertheless one which is worthwhile. Happy 2018 as we started off with William. It's been awesome connecting with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, the first one of 2018?
Yes, fantastic. As always, Happy New Year.
Indeed. So can we connect with you again, probably live next week, when we will be back live, post-London Boat Show, when we'll hopefully have at least one Sunseeker yacht to hand. You know, I think we could. Will that fit in the Edinburgh High
Street?
That's
what you're after. Yes. I'd love to connect then.
Yay, that's the important thing. William Coles will
return. Thank you so much.